Hello, this is Michael Stauffer for LittleShootMatters.org. Today I'm interviewing Brian Jostin, who is running for Little Shoot Village trustee. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
Let's begin with some basic questions. Why are you running for office? Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're interested in serving the public as a Little Shoot Village trustee.
Well, I am 45 years old. I have a Bachelor's of Science degree from UW-Madison, an MBA from UW-Oshkosh. I run two small businesses. I've been on the village board prior to this. I served two terms. And I was, I've always kept an interest on the village board, but I saw how things went with the election last year, kind of piqued my interest a little bit, and I decided to run again. So I really think this village board, the village board itself needs to have oversight, and I just don't see the oversight on the village staff yet. So we're trying to, I'm trying to join the group and get a little oversight on the village staff.
When you say oversight, Brian, what kinds of things are you interested in seeing change? What can you give me some examples of oversight that you'd like to see changed on the board or between the board and the staff, I guess, is what you're getting at?
Yeah. In my past experience, plus what I've seemed to have read as things go along, the village trustees only get so much information. And with that information, they're asked to make decisions, which we don't quite get all the information we need. The questions have got to be asked, the tough questions, a lot of financials, a lot of history. Things just seem to be run by the village administrator, gives us only so much information. Village president hasn't been, I don't think, up to task in keeping the village administrator, giving us more of the information that we need.
And in all fairness, of course, to the village staff, some of these issues, you mentioned financial issues and there are development issues, and some of these get extraordinarily complicated. So it takes a lot of work, a lot of effort, and a lot of know-how to really dig into some of these issues. Would it be fair to summarize what you're saying here is that you're ready and willing to do the hard work of digging into these issues and coming up with answers that will satisfy the people of Little Shoot?
Absolutely. Proof is in the pudding. When I was on the village board last time, I raised the red flag on the health insurance, on the retirees' health insurance, and I said, you know what, I'll do the legwork. I'll do it, and I'll come up with some solutions, but I was outvoted. Said, no, we can do it, we can do it. Well, to me, again, they just gave a peripheral look on it because, you know, they don't want to gore their own ox. And I was quite disappointed in that, but I am ready to do it. I have some expectations of what I want, information, and I expect it as a trustee because you're making tough decisions and you got to have the information.
And to clarify, when was your last term? You served several terms, right?
Yeah, I believe I was elected, I'm trying to think, 2004, 2000, and then 2006 I was reelected. So
up through 2008 then, is that, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
That would be about right.
Okay, thank you. Let's move on to a question about the economy. In Little Shoot, the economy is on most people's minds right now, especially jobs. And according to the Census Bureau in Little Shoot, one out of every five jobs are created by small businesses with less than 20 employees. Another two out of those five are for mid-sized businesses with 20 to 100 employees. And over 95% of the businesses in Little Shoot are either small or mid-sized. So how will you support existing small and mid-sized businesses and encourage the development of new ones, especially from your perspective as a businessman yourself?
Well, number one, I try to take government out of the equation. Government has a habit of choosing winners and losers, and I have a real difficult time with that. My whole basis is low taxes, low fees, let's tout our geographic area for it. I'm a proponent of small business because you usually have local people with local ties in those type of businesses. So it's very hard for them to leave. Now you start getting bigger companies with, you know, no local management or ownership. They come in, take the money, and leave when they get a better offer. So my whole base is low taxes, low fees for everyone. That should be the first one. And then let's tout our geographical position within the Fox Cities, because really, we are part of the Fox Cities. There is no question. I mean, I have a small business. I employ no one from Little Chute. A couple of part-time people, but my full-time people, one's from Sherwood, one's from Appleton. We really are, you know, in the Fox Cities. So to get in competition with Appleton and Kaukauna and give away land and money, I mean, you know, it's a losing proposition.
Interesting what you're saying about being in competition, as opposed, when you say geography, you're talking about then banding together and thinking of the Fox Valley as a single economic zone rather than Little Chute being in competition with others. Is that what you're looking at?
That really has to be the answer, and we have to be, you know, as one. What does Little Chute have? Well, we've got, you know, 41 frontage, and we've got area to the north where we can grow. What is Kaukauna got? You know, they have the dog park there with the intersection. But when we're sitting there competing one-on-one for one little business, I mean, there's just no winner there. Every taxpayer is a loser there. Appleton the same way. I mean, we should all be focused on economic development as a geographical area, not as each individual community.
Okay, let's move on to the next question then, is about government finances. When we think about government finances, many of us immediately think taxes, but taxes are only one way to finance government. Fees are another means of generating revenue, sometimes a hotly debated means. Fees can be paid directly to the village, of course, or to third parties for village-mandated products and services. How do you view the use of fees versus taxes to fund the activities of the village of Little Chute?
In my history, fees have been a way to take away from the levy. They don't want to raise the levy as much, so they put it off to a fee, the stormwater fee, the garbage fee. That's all taken off the levy into a fee. I, as a small businessman and as a taxpayer, I just have a whole a problem with that. Prior, my first term on the village board, the big thing was to put salaries to the stormwater utility. So they'd shift salaries off of the general levy and put them into the utility. That was a big thing. You know, to me, this is just smoke and mirrors. And you got to focus on the costs and what this is doing. You know, taxes are inevitable. There's no question. And I see a reason for taxes, but so much emphasis is put on the revenue side. Not much is put on the expense side, the cost savings that could be happening. Everybody's so focused on revenue. But let's see, maybe a private contractor is a way to go in some instances. You know, a good thing, there has not been much building going on in this village for 3 years. Do we really need a building inspector? What about shared resources with Kimberly? Can't we share a building inspector with them? Doesn't it make more sense? I mean, can we really afford to have a building inspector, 5 weeks vacation, that salary, a health insurance? I mean, you got to start looking at some of these things. It's and this is just being brutally honest.
So let me recap a little bit. You're talking the question was one about taxes versus fees, but you've broadened the question a little bit to also include expenses, and you're basically saying that we need to look at both sides of the balance sheet. That is what we're taking in on the levy, as well as questions of what we're taking in fees. But we also need to look at whether we're getting bang for the buck in the money that the village is using. Do we really get an improvement in the quality of life for the Village of Little Chute residents? Is that a fair summary then?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, transparency, fees usually are a tax. And, you know, you tout that you raise fees, but you kept the levy the same. And really, you know, it has increased. And you got to let people know. You just got to be honest with people. If you're raising this fee, you really are raising their taxes. So you have to educate people. And one way to do that is to ask questions and get things out there.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Let's consider the question of transparency in government. You just mentioned how important transparency is. And in particular, Wisconsin's public record laws require open access to village records for all citizens. However, getting copies of village documents can sometimes be complicated. For example, information packets given to village trustees in open session occasionally include documents that visitor packets don't have. Also, announcements about village contracts and agreements often aren't widely publicized. How do you propose making village records as freely available as possible to the general public?
Well, this starts with the village president and their meetings with the village administrator. And getting, that's where it has to start, number one. So I do believe right now our village administrator has a tendency to quick. Oh, we've got to make a decision now. I think it has to start with the village president, working with the village administrator, getting the correct documents out there, getting the correct information so that we can let our residents know and we can let the trustees know. But it all starts from that initial meeting, that weekly meeting with the village administrator and the president, getting the correct documents and getting the agenda set.
So the president's role, in your view, is really important, is really paramount in operating a village. The president, of course, is not a mayor like you might have in a city. He is a trustee by law, but he is first among the seven trustees, so to speak, and his relationship with the village administrator is really somewhat unique between the president and the administrator. How do you see that relationship working out in practice? You said you start with weekly meetings, and what would you see changing in the relationship between the village president and the village administrator?
I see the village president more as an oversight of the administrator. The administrator may bring up ideas, and the village president saying, okay, we're going to take this and this on, we want this information, and kind of direct it so that when the packets come out to trustees, that we're fully informed and we don't get these gotchas or these last minute decisions that have to be made quickly. I've been involved in some of those, and quite frankly, it's beyond me. One of them was the Van Zeeland Manufacturing. Kakana supposedly had offered him a deal, and the village administrator came to the meeting and said, we got to know tonight. I'm like, well, what did Kakana offer? Well, we have no idea, but this is what they want. We got to know tonight. And right from there, I shook my head and I thought, this is quite interesting that it's just happening quickly. So, you know, that's one example where the information has to get to the trustees. This village is run by the trustees and the village president. It's not run by village staff. And that's got to be paramount. And we are accountable to the taxpayers. That's the ultimate accountability is the taxpayer. And we're, you know, representative democracy. We're there to look out for the taxpayer of Little Chute. So, I just, you know, if I get on the village board, that will be paramount to get the information to the village president saying, we want the information, and we want it ahead of time.
Okay, thank you for that, Brian. Lastly, let's talk about the village's downtown area. In recent years, there has been some development along Main Street. Although much of the focus has been on the Dutch Boys and the windmill projects, these two projects have been both west of the Village Hall, and as you well know, there's quite a bit of the downtown area that's east of the Village Hall. How do we develop the downtown area to the east, and how do you think we can keep existing businesses and attract new businesses to this area?
Talk about a difficult question. If if I had the answers, I'd be working with every downtown. Downtowns and small towns are struggling. There is just no question. And there is no magic pixie dust. There really is not. The only, as a landlord myself on a commercial piece of property, all I know is I need to do what I can to get renters in there. Whether it be to offer them deals, to redo the space. I, as a landlord, take it upon myself to get the businesses in there. I don't look for government to do it. I don't look for any handouts. I myself try to offer the tenants something different, unique, something that they want. And these downtown businesses have to do the same thing. If you own a building and you're not in it, you're going to have to do something to get a tenant in there. Either lower the price, think of ideas, strategically target something that you think. If you've seen, something in retail that you think can work, well, why not pursue it?
Sure. You talked earlier about getting government out of the way of business, especially small business, and I understood that to mean working with business to minimize regulation and that kind of a thing. But is there an active role that you see the village playing in helping landlords to fill some of the empty stores, the empty buildings downtown?
Well, I'm not a big fan of government involvement at all, and especially the part that government's involved now with this facade. This design manual, restrictions on that.
And just for the listenership here, maybe you could describe a little bit of what that design manual currently does for the small businesses in the downtown. It's intended to beautify the downtown, but perhaps you could tell the listeners a little more about it.
And I tried to warn the business owners that if a major storm came through this area and just took off their facades, there would be somebody from the village standing there with this manual in their face saying, if you're going to rebuild, it's got to be this. It's got to be under this design and whatever. And the business owners didn't take heed the first time. It got passed. This design manual is meant to give this village an old Dutch theme around the windmill. Whether right or wrong, I don't know. I'm not smart enough for that, but I see no windmill. And if one does come, and people want to change their design to it because they see, a competitive advantage, that's fantastic. And to give them all the help in the world with less restrictions on signage, more parking, whatever. I would support all that. Less restrictions from government so that they can actually, get a table out in the sidewalk or whatever. That, to me, is the role of government, is to get out of the way, put less restrictions in, better signage, and help the downtown.
Okay. Thank you so much, Brian, for meeting today and sharing your views on where Little Chute is at and where Little Chute should be going. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.